Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
We also want to welcome all of you who are joining us from other churches, small groups, wherever you're joining us from, our online community. We are excited that you are a part of this series that we're in right now. Thank you to all of you who are supporting us. It's a special season for me, no doubt about it. And I try to be calm and I try to not be self-serving. I don't want to be that guy, but when you're excited and grateful for a lot of blessing that the Lord has given you, an opportunity like God's given to me, you just can't help in a moment like this to talk about it and to say thank you to everybody who's leaned in and everybody who has, if you have got on social media and talked about it, if you have the book and you've passed it on to somebody and you believe it's helping people, I'm forever grateful, and I mean that from my heart. I'm grateful for your love and your support at this special time in our life. This series is about embracing risk, and it's about experiencing the reward of a large, open, and expansive life. That's what this Naked and Unafraid is about. It's about embracing the risk. Everybody shout risk. And then experiencing the reward, because a lot of people don't realize that the risk is all about the reward. It's not just to take a risk and it not have anything attached to it. But it's about being willing to lean in to opportunities and to see a door that maybe in your life is just cracked open a little bit, and to go ahead and open that door up, even when you don't know what's on the other side. But stepping by faith into the open spaces and places that God gives you an opportunity to go in. And so today, maybe that's a conversation with family members who don't know Christ. Maybe that's what it is for you. Maybe for you, you're a business leader, and you've been asking God to give you favor and to open up new doors of opportunity. And it may not just be thrown open for you. In fact, you might have to sometimes kick it down. But the idea is, if there's a door like that's there, God will honor your faith and God will honor your courage whenever you make up your mind to just walk into places that you don't really have a guarantee of the outcome, but you believe God's leading you there. You believe God's taking you there. And for some of you today, it's just another step in your experience with God. Like you're hesitant and you're nervous and you're wondering, if I do this, then I'm going to have to be like a real Christian. Like I don't think I can qualify for that. Like I'm going to have to like go to church all the time. And I'm going to have to like, if I really commit my life to God, I might have to start giving. Well, you know, it's about all of you who are at places where you're hesitating and the Spirit of God is saying, come on, don't be afraid. Put your trust in me. Step out, step forward, take a step of faith, and I'll be right there for you. Amen? So in the book, we focus on five keys to living what we call the naked and unafraid life. And I want you, we're going to put the list on the screen, but before we do, I want you to just say, my heart's open, my mind's ready, make me better, God, by your word. I receive it. And I believe it, and I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, shout a great big amen. So here's the list. Have a look at it. We started with the first week. We talked about the naked and unafraid life is all about being willing to risk exposure. The second week, we talked about what we call abandon smallness. Being intentional about moving away from pettiness. Focus on the wrong stuff. And to realize that that's hindering you from being that big person who God can provide new territory to you in your life. The third week, we talked about pushing past criticism. And we said everyone deals with some form of criticism, from people close to you, to people around you, to people who just don't like you for one reason or another. And we talked about that's an important dynamic to living this life that we're describing as naked and unafraid, not being stopped by what the critics say, but pushing past it. And now today we're going to talk about the fourth key, and the fourth key is this: own your story. Own your story. You see, part of being vulnerable is having the courage to own all of your story. It's about taking complete ownership of your life. I just got to tell you, this message is for some people, it's the one message out of all five in this series that could change everything for you in your life and your future. Taking complete ownership of your life. Not just the things that you're responsible for, but for everything that impacts your life. It's about taking ownership of the cards that you were dealt and the pain that you have felt, so that you, with God's help, can create a positive outcome. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5 says, each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best. I love that. The creative best. Sometimes you have to pause, you have to pray, you have to say, God, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, I got dealt this hand of cards in my life, my history, my past. It says here, you must take responsibility for doing the creative best that you can with your own life. Wow. That just kind of like cuts through all the other stuff, huh? There's a quote I want you to have a look at by a guy named Hal Elrod. It's, the moment you accept responsibility for everything in your life is the moment you gain the power to change anything in your life. That's good, eh? See, owning your story means you don't just own the good parts of your story, but you own every part of your story. If you're a teenager driving your parents' car and it stalls on the side of the road, you might shift responsibility and say, well, it's not my car. My parents' car, I don't have any money anyway, so it's not my problem. But on the other hand, if you're an adult and your car stalls, you might not like it, and you may not know what caused it, but it's your car. And it's up to you to get it off the side of the road, to pay to get it towed, pay for the repairs, and get it running again. Why? Because it's your car. You know it's your car. You can tell the police officer, well, I don't know what to do with it. They're going to say, you got to get it off the road. Well, how come I got to get it? Because it's your car. And in the same way, your life can get broken down or not going as good as you hoped. And the tendency is to shift the responsibility for your life, which can sound kind of like this: well, it's not my fault, there's nothing I can do. Or you might say something like, well, I may not be perfect, but I haven't been treated right. If my dad hadn't left, if my mom hadn't got remarried, if I'd grown up in a different part of town, if I'd gone to a different school, not my fault. But here's the deal. I think I got everybody's attention right now. Not taking ownership leaves you there. Anybody that don't want to stay there? Because that's what happens if we don't take ownership. We stay right there. We stay stuck in offense. We stay stuck in hurt, unforgiveness, anger, or bitterness. See, only when you own it can you change it. Only when you own it can you get unstuck. Only when you own it can you get healed. Only when you own it can you get healthy. Only when you own it can you get happy. Only when you own it can you be all that you're meant to be. See, if somebody gives you a box of broken eggs, you can complain. These eggs are broken. What am I supposed to do with broken eggs? You can get mad, or you can scramble them, flavor them, make something good, and say, wow, somebody gave me some eggs. At least I got something to work with. So I have what we call the full ownership policy. The full ownership policy. It's just a little policy I made up with myself, and I'm hoping it helps others. And here's how it goes. The full ownership policy is this. I'm all in, no victim, no blame, and no excuses. All in, no victim, no blame, no excuses. Trying to help somebody today. See, the full ownership policy means that you're all in. You're all in. A few years ago, we sat down, Sheila and I, with a financial advisor, and we looked at our savings account, and we were surprised that we didn't have as much put away in our savings, in our IRA accounts, as we thought that we had put away. The financial advisor then shared, with a little bit of a smile on his face and a little bit of compassion and mercy and empathy, he said, what you guys are experiencing, I have to tell you, it's really common. And here's what he said. He said, people tend to overestimate how much they've invested, and they feel disappointed when the return is not as great as they expected. He looked at us and he said, honestly, you guys, I can tell you're caught off guard and all of that, but you're not alone in this. And what you're getting back is based on what you're putting in. If you want more out, you have to put more in. This was years ago, and I'll never forget that advice. Sounds so elementary, but when you come face to face with the tendency of humanity to overestimate your investment, and you go, wow, I would have, honestly, I can't believe it. I think a lot of people, by the way, do that in their giving. We get phone calls at the end of every year or emails from people who are like, no, I gave more. My giving record is not right. And it's human. There's an element of human nature. You left some stuff off. And so our team will help them and walk through it with them. And a lot of people are like, it just doesn't seem right. I'm sorry I took your time up. but it doesn't seem right. I could vow. I gave more than I gave. But see, that's what we do. We overestimate our investment. It's not just about our savings or our giving, but it's true in every area of your life. If you're not getting back what you hope for, it could be that you're overestimating what you're giving. Just think about it. Consider what I'm saying. Most people live their life wanting maximum return on mediocre investment. And that mediocre investment comes and originates in this inhibition, this hesitation, this constant thing of playing it safe and being careful and, you know, all on the investment side of life. And then people get to the second half of life. And this is a fact. I'm not making this up. People get to their second half of life and they realize that what they're getting back is minimal returns, which is why in the second half of life, hear me out, people start to regret what they didn't do more than what they did do. The first half of your life, you're like, I don't want to look back and regret what I did. I don't want to look back. But the truth is, more people look back and regret what they didn't do than people who look back and regret what they did do. Am I helping anybody today? Somebody shout all in.
All in.
Say it again, all in.
All in.
Come on, start today. Start today, church family. Start right now, ma'am. Start right now, married couple. Go all in with your life. Give it everything you have. Give it your very, very best. Secondly, the full ownership policy means that you won't play the victim. You won't play the victim. It's a very popular thing for people to do in this era that we live in. And I think the reason is because if you can play the victim well, you're going to garnish a lot of sympathy. And if you don't, then you're not going to get as much sympathy and maybe attention. But see, owning your story means not allowing yourself to play the victim. And here's why. Because if you play the victim, you stay the victim. If you play the victim, want to say it with me? If I play the victim, I stay the victim. Now, here's what I know about humanity is that we often don't really realize, people who play the victim don't really realize they're playing the victim. This is not about trying to make somebody feel condemnation or guilt. It's about trying to help people to pay more attention to your thoughts and your words, and to realize that sometimes we live in prisons that we create. And the reality is that you cannot play the victim and be a victor at the same time. So if you want to be free of your negative history and rise above the injustice or the bad experience or what someone did to you or how you were wronged, you'll have to trade in the victim status for a victory status. Here's what Scripture says, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is God's plan for us. This is the power He put in you and He put in me. If you have been born again, you have the power to overcome absolutely every injustice, every circumstance, every bad thing that has happened to you in your life. You don't have to play the victim. You can be a victor. This is the victory that Scripture says. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. If you're willing to believe that God has made me an overcomer, that I overcome in all things, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you're willing to believe that, it will be so. I said it will be so. It will be true. Wow. The full ownership policy means that you won't shift the blame. You won't shift the blame. Blame shifting is, it just simply means projecting blame on other people for conditions in your life. And you're like, where did all this start? With the first two humans God created. Adam and Eve were the first finger-pointing couple. Now, you remember the story? God showed up after they had eaten of the tree. And the only one in the garden he told them not to eat from. And God says, hey, Adam, sup? And immediately Adam's like, it wasn't me. It's a woman. It's a woman you gave me. Not me. I didn't do it. It was her idea. And then God looks over at her. She's like, it was the devil. It was the serpent. The devil made me do it. Isn't that funny? Ever since then. Like, that was like the first thing that came out after the fall, what we call the fall of man, was blame shifting. And it typically starts at a young age in all of our lives. And it begins to avoid getting in trouble or, you know, making ourselves look good. We do it because of that. Like, and then the behavior often stays unrecognized into our adult life. And so it's very common. People blame the boss. They blame the government. They blame their parents. They blame the doctor who slapped them when they were born. They go to great extent to find someone else to put the blame on. And there's people who are listening to this message right now who are going, but it's true. Pastor Kevin, it's true. It's true. It's their fault. Like, this thing goes deep. And people don't want to let it go. And they want to nurse it. They want to curse it. They want to rehearse it. People blame that. I'm a rapper. Yes, I am. Thank you very much. People blame their spouse, they blame their kids. It's just common, isn't it? And it's acceptable in society. It makes us feel better, but it doesn't make us better. I know I'm only talking to a few people. Like, there's a few of you that are like, I want to do everything I can to be all I'm meant to be. And most people actually are going to hear a talk like I'm giving today and even other weeks, and they're just going to, like, and stay right where you are. But I'm still going to say it for the people who want to hear it. Yeah. Who want, you want to be all you're meant to be. Yeah. And by the way, it's not just blaming others that won't make you better. Blaming yourself won't make you better either. Blaming yourself or others is both a waste of time and energy. Owning your story is not about taking blame or placing blame, because that's the first thing people think of. Well, if I can't blame them, I got to put it all on me. No, you don't. Get out of the blame game. Just get out. Just keep working at what you're every day, every week. Listen to how you talk and just make up your mind. Whoop, I'm not going to do that. Oh, catch yourself. Just this week, actually. Let me tell on myself a little bit. I was playing a game with my 10-year-old grandson, Kyan. It's the game of life. And we were doing it on an iPad. And we had each won one game. All right? And so we were doing the championship game. And so I was ahead. I was ahead like by $500 or something like that. No, $5,000. I was ahead by like $5,000. And somehow I hit a button that said that the winner would then be the first one to reach a certain dollar amount. And I was unaware that I actually had hit that button. We were kind of, you know, I'm not nearly as good and efficient as he is on technology. I hit the button. He kind of smiled at me, and I'm like, yeah, okay, well, let's go on. And then he convinced me a few moves later that I actually should buy the more expensive house. And he made up some things that sounded right, like at the end of the game, it'll be worth more and blah, 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 blah. Well, what I didn't think about was when I bought the house, my dollar amount was going down. And a few minutes later, he hits that mark, and he smiles real big, and I beat you! I'm like, what do you mean you beat me? Game not over. Yes, it is! Yes, it is! I'm like, no respect. You have no... Well, then he told me what had just happened and how he had maneuvered. And he's like, and I didn't lie either, Papa. I just kind of moved you along. So, a little while later, we were all together, and I started complaining to Sheila and telling her he beat me, but it wasn't fair. He manipulated me, moved me into spaces I didn't want to be in. And he's enjoying every moment of it. And, you know, Sheila looks back at me and she says, own your story. Own your story. Own your story. Don't be shifting blame. You should have read the rules. You should have thought before you acted. All right, go home. I'm done. Don't shift the blame. Next one. The full ownership policy means you don't make excuses. You don't make excuses. Let me tell you another story. Sheila and I bought property that had apple trees and cherry trees on it years ago, and the trees had not been pruned in years, so they were worn down, ugly trees, and the fruit on them wasn't good at all. In fact, there were worms that were in the fruit. And, you know, it can be tempting when you're in a situation like that, to say like, well, I'm not a horticulturist. Somebody else planted these trees. The people before me, it's their fault. They should have taken care of the trees. Correct? Correct? Correct. At least three truths. And then it could even be tempting to go into another one that sounds true. If God wants these trees to do better, that's hyper-spiritual people right there, then he can make them better. If God wants to give me that job, he can just give me that job. Wait a minute, you could go to college, you could get an education, you could prepare yourself. Hello? So anyway, it's so tempting in a scenario like that to say all these things that sound good, but there was just one issue. We're now the owners. The trees are now on our property. Am I helping anyone? And Jesus said it like this in reference to our lives and our responsibility. He said this, make the tree good and the fruit will be good. He didn't say, hey, pray over your tree, I'll come down and make it good. He said, make it good. Do the work. Prune the tree. It's your life. It's your story. And by the way, he's not saying, and I'm not even going to get involved. No, he's just saying it's your story. And if you'll prune, I'll do what only I can do. And I've created the world. I've created you, in fact. God says this, I've created you to heal from every hurt that you experience. Now, we know that with our outward body. We get a cut, and we know not long it's not going to be there anymore. But can I tell you, that's not just about the outside. It's about the inside. If you'd have a cut and you keep moving it and picking at it, tearing off the scab, it'll take longer, it could get infected, and then maybe never even heal properly. Right? Well, that's what we do whenever we have hurts in our life, hurts in our heart, brokenness within. Someone did something wrong, and we keep talking about it, that's the same as picking at it. That's the same as bringing it up again. We keep talking about what somebody did, what somebody said, what they did wasn't right. It's the same principle. But when you turn it over to God, when you leave it where it is and you trust God, you say, I'm not going to talk about it that way anymore. I'm going to say, my God is a good God. My God can heal me, help me, strengthen me. No matter what has happened to me, no weapon formed against me can prosper. Wow. And what Jesus was saying when he said, make the tree good and the fruit will be good, is he was saying, if you want good things in your life and in your future, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your career, don't be an observer. Don't be a bystander. Be an owner. Be an owner. If you want to be healed from whatever has hurt you, start with owning your story. Make the tree good, and the fruit will be good. The fruit will be good. See, owning it all means that we see all things working together for our good. We have no one to hate, no one to blame, and no one to accuse. We see all things. Somebody shout all things. Say it again, all things. It's what the writer says in Romans 8. He says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So no matter what it was, how wrong it was, that in all things, God works for the good. Owning your story means, it doesn't mean that you can control everything that happens to you, but it does mean that you can own everything, which then empowers you to see it all as working together for your good. You kind of bring it all in. You go like, yep, that happened to me. And yep, that happened to me. And yep, they said that about me. And yeah, that was a bummer. That really hurt a whole lot. And you just bring it all in, part of your story. And basically when you own it, you stay inside of it. When you don't own it, you stay outside of it. When you don't own it, you play the victim. You shift the blame. You make excuses, but when you own it, you just stay right in it. It's your story. So when you own it, you stay in it, when you believe God, you trust God, this is my story, and you're just declaring my story in all things, in my story, God works for good. In my story, this is my story, but God's working my story for good. I don't know, this may sound odd to you. I'm just going to spit it out really quick, and I'll have a lot of time to explain it. But when you don't do that, God can't do what he wants to do through you. If you don't own it, it stays outside of you. It stays at something over here, and he can't do. See, what God wants to do in your life is that he wants to do great things through you. When you own it, he will turn it. He will turn it through you. He will turn mourning into dancing through you, not outside of you. If it stays a part of your life that you just refer to as the big, bad, ugly drama, it's over there, and you can always refer to it as an event, something happened, and how it's impacting your life, it can't ever be redeemed. Because the only redemption comes when it comes through you. But he can turn your mourning into dance, I'm telling you. He can turn ashes into beauty. He can turn hurts into healing. He can turn setbacks into comebacks.
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.